Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
Hello, Bug Babies. It's Jack here. We're taking the day off as it's a holiday weekend. But we figured this might be a good opportunity to unlock an episode of our Patreon show, Oh God, It's Friday, where we're watching every single TGIF show one by one in the order that they aired until we die. The episode that you're about to hear is our latest episode about Full House Season 3, Episode 11, Aftershocks. For folks not familiar with Full House, it's an iconic late 80s, early 90s show about three apparently unrelated men known as the Tanners who move in together in a post-apocalyptic alternate universe San Francisco after the oldest man's life partner is transformed into a sea creature and forced to live at the bottom of the Marianas Trench in an unfortunate accident related to wild magic. The episode we're discussing this week takes place after a terrifying cataclysm called The Advent, during which an unholy creature known as Mrs. Claus has clawed her way into the Tanner's reality space through a gap in the fabric of time. And it's really upsetting Stephanie. We'll be back next week with 27 dresses. In the meantime, please consider subscribing to our Patreon at patreon.com/BSCCpodcast. Have fun. Okay, I'm recording now. One.
Thank you. Got it. Two.
Three.
Four.
Five.
Six.
Seven.
Eight.
Nine.
Ten. You take issue with the way I'm counting?
Look out Friday night. Come down to the show. Here we go. Full House Family Smile. It's just the two of us, but I want it my way. We'll be here all night. Could be, we'll be here for a year. Strangers to our life. How did it come to this? Oh man, oh God, it's Friday.
Yeah, I didn't love it. Yeah, there were a few. I guess I have a few notes since we're talking about it. I didn't like.
And remember, it's no whammies.
I know.
So make it.
That's why I'm going to try to keep these
and funny.
Yep. Trying to keep these pretty productive. And just
maybe spice it up with some like potty humor.
I didn't love the pause before the number three, just because it's not hard to know what comes after two. And I feel like as a professional podcaster, something like that is just kind of table stakes, you know? I didn't like that pause. Yeah. And then
I don't think it has more to do with the latency issues between our
two computers than anything. I don't think that. And I also didn't love just how you kind of made a meal out of the whole thing.
That's me putting on my fun vest.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Especially after we said, you know, we've only got about 30 minutes or so to get this done. We can't make any mistakes. We got to keep this interesting. And the first thing you did, your first instinct was to spend a really long time counting.
Ham it up in the counting section.
Yeah.
And then address it on the
On the main show. And we have to keep it in because it's a big whammies.
Well,
episode.
We got to get some of the housekeeping out of the way, though, because it's been a big week. El Jefe has taken the show in a pretty daring, dramatic new direction.
El Jefe and, dare I say, Lenny Rips.
Oh, Lenny Rips was involved in this?
Yeah, I think it's not just El Jefe anymore. It's El Jefe and Lenny Rips. And I think that's what's going on. It's Lenny Rips has really kind of put some kick
he's
in
come
El Jefe's
on, He's come
stack.
In and he's like... He's done a lot of like lore building, you know, in a lot of ways. He's pushed the show in a lot of different directions because sometime between, this is, oh God, it's Friday. It's a Patreon podcast that you subscribe to. So
yeah,
You should know what it is.
We're hoping that your fans
you had to do some kind of like work.
And us in some manner.
To be here. But I'm Tanner Greenring. This is Jack Shepherd. We watch the TGIF shows and we talk about them. It's January 2023. I'm in my late 30s.
Yeah.
Soon I'll be in my like very late
30s. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
About as late as you can be in your 30s.
Yeah. Without being something else.
Yeah.
Yep.
And I'm enjoying this sort of like world building that's happened. In November or December of 1989, something has happened.
Something has happened. We should say El Jefe is Jeff Franklin, who always appears at the
start
He's like of
the
Full House.
Executive producer.
And
something.
I think some other TGIF shows. But lately he's been accompanied by, El Jefe is our fun nickname for Jeff Franklin. Lenny Rips is
boss.
Actual name.
Yeah, that's just, yeah, we didn't even suckify that or
any spin on the ball
in any way.
Yeah.
Yep.
But they've done something interesting.
Yeah, they've sort of taken the show post-apocalyptic.
Mm-hmm. And it's Full House.
It's like, it's a little like, it's the show is Full House. Yes, sorry. It's a little like The Day After Tomorrow, where like we're sort of like brought into this world in media res.
Yeah.
With the cold open, having learned that like the big one just hit.
The big one has hit. And we've diligently watched every episode leading up to this.
Yeah.
And Lenny Rips was like,
every episode of season three.
Yeah, that's true. But it sounds like Lenny Rips is taking Kurt Vonnegut's advice, which I've talked about before in this podcast, which is you should start as close to the end of your story as possible. And so El Jefe was like, well, we're going to have to do a whole earthquake episode before we can
get
to
your little guy is about to be sucked up by aliens.
Yeah, exactly.
That's when you're like, this is when it starts.
And so Lenny Rips skipped the earthquake. And we're just dealing with the aftermath.
Yeah, he didn't show it to us. He just shows us sort of the fallout.
Yeah.
You know? And the most sort of like immediate impact is that Full House is Urkel.
Yeah.
Kimmy Gibbler.
Full House is Urkel, comma, Kimmy Gibbler. Yep, that's a fine way to start a sentence. And please continue.
Has taken up residence at the Tanner household because her house is in ruin.
Yeah.
It's been shooken apart.
Yeah, and that's the cold open.
So boys, do any work today? Or did you just play housewife?
Well, Kimmy, I called your mom. Great news. You can move back home. Your room's been painted and all the repairs from the earthquake are finished. Actually, they were finished yesterday, but somehow your mom forgot to call.
Aw, I hate to leave. I feel like I'm part of the family now.
Yeah, you know, you've only been here 2 days, but gosh, Joseph, doesn't it seem like a lifetime?
And that's the cold open, and that's only some of the world building that they did this week, and the sort of like lore Bible writing that they did this week. Because sorry, Jack won't engage with me because my computer has decided to make me into like a Max Headroom robot for him, and he won't look at me when I'm like
it's
this.
It's hard to look at. Are you able to see that?
Yeah,
and it's your computer.
You still look normal.
Okay. Yeah.
Here, I think I'm back.
Okay.
But anyway.
Yeah.
It's no whammies. No, I'm not back. I'm still max headrooming.
That's fine. No whammies. We can't make any mistakes here. So Kimmy Gibbler is in town, and she's staying over, and they're hoping to get rid of her in the cold open, but she won't go.
It's pretty. I don't know if hilarious is quite the right word, but they're pretty openly hostile to Kimmy Gibbler.
Yeah, and
even the adults.
There hasn't been any really,
especially the adults,
good reason given why. Kimmy Gibbler's nice and funny.
Yeah, perfectly lovely. Seems like a really nice house guest. Michelle's like in love with her, begs her to stay. But that's not the only lore building they did. They also did a lot of work on like the Santa Claus lore.
Did they?
Let's see what she says. Oh, at the 8:25 mark, the B plot is sort of launched with a burn. It's the burn that like built a B plot is that DJ Tanner has a big zit on her nose.
Right.
Right before she's meant to play Mrs. Claus in the school like Christmas production.
Yes.
And she tells us that Mrs. Claus can't have a zit on her nose at the 8:25 mark because she's 612 years old.
Joey, I cannot be Mrs. Santa Claus like this. She's 612 years old. Her face would have cleared up by now.
Oh, that's interesting.
Which felt pretty specific. It felt like the show knows something about Santa and the Santa lore that I don't.
Yeah.
or maybe has, like, you know, just decided to contribute to the Santa lore, or at least the Mrs. Claus.
She's 612 years old, so in 1989, that'll be the mid 1300s we're dealing with is when Mrs. Claus first is spawned.
The Dark Ages.
Yeah, in the Dark Ages, right in there.
It's like the bubonic plague was tearing through Europe, I think.
So I wonder what cataclysmic event created Mrs. Claus. But that's a very interesting thing for them to add.
Yeah.
It's an actual date in the 1300s that signifies the birth of Santa's wife.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that's good lore.
Because I don't know. Presumably Santa's like infinite, you know? Yeah. Like, he's been there since the birth of the cosmos.
Oh, so he's been and Santa is infinite, and then sometime around the Dark Ages, towards the end of the Dark Ages, Santa decided that he was lonely. And
And he came to Earth in the form of a plague.
Yeah. Yes.
And found his bride.
Mrs. Claus. And DJ knows that.
And this is El Jefe.
This is El Jefe stuff.
This is not us.
Yeah.
We're a mouthpiece.
So that's cool. And it's also El Jefe and Lenny Rips, by extension, have decided that everyone in their world knows that. It's common knowledge. It's not secret. Yeah. It's not arcane knowledge that DJ has. It's just sort of, so it must be something that's kind of top of mind for these people. And maybe that was what the cataclysm was.
Oh, yeah. This has just happened last week.
Yeah. So that's what, and the cataclysm has caused various traumas. It's manifested itself physically on DJ's nose in the form of a zit.
Yeah. Well, while we're still talking about that, before you go to the actual A plot, can I tell you the burn that launched a B plot?
Yeah, I'd love that.
At the 4 minute and 55 second mark, it has been revealed that DJ has a big zit on her nose, and Kimmy Gibbler's still stalking about the Tanner household.
Yeah.
And DJ storms into her room. Kimmy's there, and she says,
I have to be Mrs. Claus tomorrow in front of the whole school.
And Kimmy says,
you could always switch parts and play Rudolph.
That's good.
Which is pretty good. But then DJ hits her back with,
what are you laughing at, parakeet legs?
Yeah, that was my burn. I liked that.
Yeah.
What are you laughing at, parakeet legs, is choice.
Yeah, really good. And because they pull out, it's like a really wide shot, and you can see Kimmy Gibbler's little like parakeet legs. In fact, it almost feels a little mean.
It feels a little mean to the actress playing Kimmy Gibbler.
Well, that girl like has long, skinny legs.
Yeah, some like old...
Your zit is fake.
Some old cigar-chomping comedy writer of yore in the writer's room was like looking at this girl's skinny legs and being like, we can do jokes on this. That's fucked.
We can cut deep here.
I guess we're not only in our burn segment, we are by extension in our hit segment that's called Gimme Kimmy.
I'm Kimmy. Two M's, a Y, an I, and a K. But not in that order. I pity the fool who marries this woman.
Oh, gimme.
No, there's gimme, doesn't gimme, need gimme. Anything else. It's already good.
Gimme. Okay, the Britney song.
Sure. And so we've already said most of the Kimmy Gibbler things, except at the 3 minute mark when it's time for her to leave, she goes, it's been a slice.
I'll see you later, kid. It's been a slice.
That's cool.
Which is very cool. I think they're all just jealous of her. Yeah.
They're so mean to her, to her face.
Yeah.
Like at one point she's like, you know, making a little joke just to like bring a little levity to the situation. Well, the A-plot's pretty heavy. We'll get into it.
A-plot's heavy, yeah. The A-plot's really dark. I texted you last week when we were initially going to record this, but then your life kind of fell apart in ways that are probably too boring to talk about.
Fled.
Yeah, and you just
Should we
fled.
Do Massachufacts?
We have not done Massachufacts, but I'd love to finish my sentence.
Yeah, please.
I texted you, this episode has a really dark energy. And if memory serves, you responded, what episode?
I think I said, what episode?
Yeah. Which was wild.
I think that's when you started to figure out that maybe things had unraveled in my
life. We were literally 30 minutes out from recording. What episode? You're like, yeah, I was just thinking the same thing about this episode of my life.
Yeah. Should I do Massachufacts?
Yeah, now you can do Massachufacts. But I just want the listeners to be warned that from here on out, nothing is fun. The episode has a really dark energy. So put a, take off your
so
fun
let's
hats.
Get, let's get Massachufacts out of the way.
Somber
then.
Hats.
No, 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 not yet. Okay. Take off your fun hat. But, put on your fact hat.
Okay, hang on. Take off your fun hat now and put on your fact hat, unless you're already wearing a fun fact hat, in which case, keep that on. But get ready to take
it, keep
it off.
On. Although you may, if it's a fun fact hat, you may be disappointed.
Yeah, okay. All right. Everybody's got their right hats on. So let's hear a Massachusetts from Tanner. Tanner's been out in Massachusetts.
I've been out in Massachusetts. Yes. Massachubats is what we call it on the show. Yeah. It's based on a meme. It's my favorite meme. Second favorite meme after the guy with the two buckets on his head. Two blue buckets.
It's not even a meme. That's just a video.
Jesus, I didn't know you were like keeper of master of the memes.
Yeah, that meme belongs in a museum.
The archiver. I went to Springfield, Massachusetts.
Okay, so far not interesting.
On a two-day vacation.
Okay.
To stay at the MGM Grand Casino Resort.
Weird.
Because we had to cancel another vacation because Jamie had COVID. Long story short.
Yeah.
Here's what I learned about Springfield, Massachusetts. Home to Basketball Hall of Fame.
Okay.
Because it's where basketball was invented.
Okay.
It's where Dr. Seuss was invented. It's where the automobile was invented.
Okay.
It's where... what is some of the other stuff?
Boston Tea Party.
Boston Tea Party was probably Boston. they invented everything, okay. And they've got so much renown. Yeah. And
it sounds like
it's a shame that Springfield, Massachusetts. Oh, by the way, the media center of the Connecticut Valley.
Okay.
The media capital of the Connecticut Valley.
It sounds like you've bought a lot of hype on just a 2-day vacation.
Well,
about an otherwise,
I was frankly really impressed.
Unremarkable town.
So those are my Massachusetts.
Wait, that's it.
This week.
We've had the facts. There it is. Okay. Yeah.
No, I can probably drum up more.
No, I hope people didn't keep their fun fact hats on for that segment.
That was good. Those are good facts.
Those are the Massachusetts facts. Now everybody put on your trauma hats because Stephanie has lasting trauma.
Yep.
From the event.
At the 11 minute and 38 second mark, Jack is queuing it up now. Yeah. In post.
Mm-hmm.
You will hear on the sort of score that it takes a very, like, very special episode kind of turn at that point. There's some somber music, some, like, heartstring tugging piano chords.
Yeah.
Did you hear it?
I heard it, yeah.
That's when I knew that we were...
Things are about to take a turn.
For some no good.
There's something wrong. Something's wrong. And she always wants to be with Daddy, doesn't she? She's clinging on to Daddy. She doesn't want to let him leave. It's getting weird.
She's freaking out if he's like late coming home. They decide to go to like kid therapy together.
Yeah, I got a couple things about that. One, at the 11 minute mark, he's supposed to go to some work evening social event, and she doesn't want him to go.
I'm sorry, honey. It's for grown-ups only, okay? You can't go.
No, I want my daddy. You can't go. Don't leave me.
And then he says,
"It's okay, it's okay. I won't go. I'll stay here with you. Okay, everything's all right."
And maybe that's why she's so fucking clingy, is that he is far too lenient.
Yeah, I think they do, if I'm not mistaken, then do explore that in therapy later on in the episode.
But he really just gives up quite quickly.
Yeah.
I would need a good deal more. I guess maybe he's a better dad. He's noticing something that really is wrong.
Oh, maybe. I think I would also say, oh, okay, I'll stay home with you. But
oh, really?
I don't think it would be based on any like empathy. I hate to say this, but
yeah.
I know it wouldn't be based on any empathy. I know it would just be based on the fact that I would rather just
stay home.
You
don't want to go to the stupid work event.
Yeah.
And you could call and be like, my son asked me not to go. What do you want me to say?
Because of remember the earthquake we all suffered through like a week ago?
Santa's wife, who's been haunting us since the 1300s, suddenly kind of reared her head and manifested in downtown San Francisco. Well, it freaked out my child, and I'm not going to fucking work drinks.
Yeah.
Okay, fair enough. I'm sorry, and I'm sorry I called her clingy. She obviously has something that she needs to work through. But we do learn that Danny is a Scientologist.
Hmm. Tell me more.
At the 15-minute
and
50-second mark, Joey and Jesse are like, oh, you should have her talk to someone. And Danny says,
what do you mean? Take her to a therapist or something?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that's a thing about Scientologists, I think. It's that they're like super against therapy.
Oh, because they don't need therapy. They have like whatever, like
thetans
or whatever.
Yeah, but it's remember Tom Cruise is famously like railing against psychiatry. It's a thing.
Oh, I just watched. This is, I guess, this is fraught.
Okay.
Like a fraught moor we're about to wade into, but I did just watch Top Gun Maverick.
So did I.
And I thought it was breathtaking.
Yeah, an amazing, incredible film. No notes, perfect.
And I realized as I was watching, I was like, I just like Tom Cruise.
Love him. Love the guy. Yep.
There's not a Tom Cruise movie I've seen in the last 10 years that I didn't like.
He lights up the screen.
Leave the theater being like, that was great.
He lights up the screen. Yep. Yeah.
So here we are.
There it is.
We're in the bog now. where were we? Okay, so yes, they go to therapy together.
Yeah.
Daddy daughter therapy.
He's eventually persuaded.
With a real no nonsense therapist.
She gets really right to the point. She says, "Stephanie, draw a picture and put some scary stuff in it."
Would you like to draw a picture for me?
Sure. How about a nice bird?
Well, I like birds, but what I'd really like to see is a picture of your family.
You're in luck. Families and birds are my two best things.
Yeah. She's like, draw a picture and make it really easy to identify your trauma.
Yeah. I've got one.
For an audience of Americans.
I have one idea here. I'm going to have you draw a picture, and hopefully you're going to draw whatever your trauma is in the picture. And if not, there's no fixing you.
Yeah.
But she does draw her trauma.
Yeah, so she drew this like real like bad wolf, like end of Matt Smith era Doctor Who.
Totally.
Like, crack in the, in the ceiling of her house.
Yeah. It's pretty freaky.
Yeah.
And she draws...
like the Time Lords are on the other side of it?
It's intense. It's like she draws... the therapist is like, wink, wink. Hey, Steph, why don't you go draw a picture while I'm talking to your dad? And Steph's like, okay. And she just absolutely crushes it. She draws a huge house. Inside the house are Stephanie, DJ, Joey, and Jesse. Outside the house is Daddy, and there's a crack in the wall.
Yeah.
That's where Mrs. Claus comes through, isn't it? You could see her little fucking hands.
This timeless bee glowing through this crack in the wall. Yeah.
Do you think it's Mrs. Claus, like C-L-A-W-S?
I think it was at some point.
Yeah.
You know, like Coca-Cola, the Coca-Cola PR machine changed it in the 1940s.
And that's what's bothering her is that she thought Daddy wouldn't come home when the event happened. But he did.
Yeah, and there's a good chance he wouldn't.
Yeah.
It's cataclysmic.
Cataclysmic.
I think about that every time I leave home for, like, Massachusetts.
Do you? What if you didn't come back?
What if, famously, like in 2011, here's a Massachusetts fact for you.
Oh, God.
A tornado ripped through downtown...
Springfield?
Springfield, Massachusetts. Caused a lot of damage. It's like, what if that happened while I were here?
Memorize the fucking tour book? You're like Marianne on vacation.
I am like Marianne on vacation. I go to the immediately whenever we like first get to our first dinner, like ended up at a restaurant eating dinner together. I just immediately pull out my phone and go to Wikipedia for the town.
Wow.
And I just immediately just start spouting facts to whoever will listen to me.
That's terrifying.
It's fun.
Oh, the other thing I didn't say about the picture, if you look closely at it that Steph draws, the sun is frowning. Just in case you didn't think something was terribly wrong.
Well, that could be a reference to Super Mario Brothers 3, I guess.
Okay.
Those desert levels where the sun kind of like swirls around and drops down and tries to get you.
Oh, yeah. I remember that. You should talk about that with Cyril. Cyril and I have been playing a lot of Super Mario Party, and he is fully obsessed with Mario lore. He's given up on... It's funny. Like, kids are funny. He's like... He was deep in Justice League.
Oh, and he's immediately adjusting.
And now he's just, like, immediately into Mario lore, which is like, wow, those things are quite different. But to a kid, it's just like, guys, you know?
Yeah.
Then he's like, always like, Daddy, tell me more about Mario.
Mario Kart, and then we could play on Switch together.
Yeah, I'd like that.
Oh, it would crush him.
You know what? I have difficulty.
He would be absolutely humiliated.
Yeah, I have difficulty explaining to him that what he's doing with the controller is manifested on the screen.
Oh, Miles, I think the year and a half difference in their age plus our parenting styles, Miles immediately understands every video game he picks up.
Oh, really? That's crazy.
And how to play it. Like, he's been raised on, like, iPad.
Wow.
So
Cyril is just like, I think it's like a complicated act of verisimilitude.
No, Miles gets it for some reason. Huh. Maybe he's just really gifted. This is Dad Talk.
Yeah.
And there's no whammies this week, so.
Yeah, so it's got to stay in. And now, a word from our sponsor, BetterHelp. Hey everybody, it's Evil Jack here, and I have some bad news to share, which is that the evil BetterHelp competitor that Evil Tanner and I started, WetterHelp, which offers all the same services as BetterHelp, except 100% soggier, is going under, both literally and figuratively. Unfortunately, a lot of the therapists we tried to work with, despite being licensed counselors, who you would expect to be some of the most understanding people in the world, were actually extremely rude and unforgiving about how damp their contracts were when it came time to sign, and a lot of our clients expressed a surprising amount of dissatisfaction with their sessions, despite the fact that we went above and beyond to ensure that each interaction was as quaggy, mushy, squelchy, moist, and waterlogged as we could manage within the constraints of a small business. Also, our offices are sinking. All of this is, of course, causing me and Evil Tanner a good deal of stress, anxiety, grief, LGBT matters, and self-esteem, which means that we are going to have to make use of some of the many licensed therapists at BetterHelp, despite the fact that they don't have a 100% moistness guarantee, and their counselors insist on conducting some of the most bone-dry therapy sessions you could imagine. If you're thinking of starting therapy, you should definitely give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and it's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. At the moment, we are sadly unable to offer you the squelchy, sopping alternative that WetterHelp was really starting to be known for, so I guess you're just going to have to do it the old-fashioned way and call your therapist from the shower, or ideally, some kind of bog. If you've got some things you really want to get off your chest, just fill out a brief questionnaire at BetterHelp to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. But if you want the soaking of a lifetime, well, I guess you're just going to have to stand next to a puddle and wait for a bus to drive by, because apparently there's no room in this country for entrepreneurs anymore. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/bedfellows today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/bedfellows.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's bachelorette bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Speaking of Dad Talk.
Oh, yeah, I've got some Dad
16
Talk.
16-minute, yeah. 30-second mark. Mm-hmm. Joey and Jesse do a little, like, dad LARPing.
They do a little dad LARPing, yeah. They do a dad LARP.
You're going to have to pull the clip, and I'll just sort of describe the broad strokes to you now,
yeah,
even though it's playing over it.
Okay.
Now you go make your phone call, clean up for dinner, and you wash under those nails, young man.
Yes, sir.
And, son, I know about those magazines under your bed.
So that was the dad LARPing. It's pretty, it's blink and you miss it.
Yeah, it's good dad LARPing. But then later, in that same sequence, Danny says to them,
you know, you guys make pretty good dads yourself.
And I'm reminded that in the late 80s, there was, I guess, a culture-wide obsession with the concept of there being three dads.
Oh, yeah. Well, and also, like, Mr. Mom, too.
Yeah. Yeah, interesting.
Just sort of this cultural obsession with men stepping into untraditional parenting
roles. Yeah, yeah. Fascinating.
I mean, look at where we're at now. We're immersed in it, Full House. At some point, they're talking about going to therapy together, and Joey's like, "That you already mentioned this." He's like, "Maybe we need help."
Yeah,
and it's like, "There's fucking three of you."
There's three of you.
What do you mean?
Somebody smarter than me needs to write about this. You've got my two dads. You've got Three Men and a Baby. You've got Full House. I guess it was just a shift that was happening.
I don't know. Some like cultural anthropologist probably needs to like figure out what happened. More women in the workplace, or God, I guess we're already in the bog.
Yeah.
We may as well speculate.
I don't know. I don't want to say anything anymore about that. Let's see. I'm just going through the rest of my notes here. I do have a brief name generator, maybe, which we should just do to kind of close out the episode. But I don't know how, as usual, I don't know quite how to do it. I think I had an idea for it, but then we didn't record a week past. And you went to Massachusetts.
Well, let's.
So we'll just try to work it out together. But the name generator is.
I got that Western Massachusetts energy.
Yeah. Okay.
Right now.
It's based on Stephanie's experience. It's based on the A plot here. But the question that the name generator revolves around is, why do you. Always want to be with Daddy?
Oh, okay.
So I think we just got to figure out what the event was.
I'm just going to, I guess.
So maybe if you could just figure out events near that happened near you in the last few days.
I'm going to Google trauma to fathers.
Okay, that's probably going to yield some hilarious results.
Yeah, that's not good.
I'm going to look at events near me.
Events near me. Good, 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 good. So this, the thing that happened to me is. This thing that I'm reading about?
Yeah, that was my thought.
And it caused the trauma that makes me clingy to my father.
Yeah, in my case, someone called Rodney Carrington, who's a guy who wears a cowboy hat and is a multi-talented comedian, actor, singer, and writer, has been playing, I guess, a residency pretty near my house.
And it somehow got between you and your father? Or
I guess it's just made me clingy.
Reminded you of Dad.
Yeah.
Yeah, mine's similar at Jerry's Pizza.
Okay, yeah.
In Middletown, Connecticut.
Mm-hmm.
Goodfellas. The Goodfellas duo are playing.
Okay, well, that's scary. Goodfellas is scary. There's a lot of like mob hits.
With a
stuff.
Z.
Okay, yeah.
Goodfellas with, it says Goodfellas with a Z in the headline on Google Events.
Yeah.
Or Facebook Events. But down in the description, it's Goodfellas with an S. But apparently they play pop hits from New Orleans styles and happy music. There's zero people going, two people interested.
Okay, well, maybe we can throw them a little publicity with this.
That's me and Dad. The two people who are interested.
It's you and Daddy.
And I guess I'm clingy because I'm just like, well, are we going?
Are we
or
going
not,
or not, you know? Dad? I need to know.
I don't like not to press the matter, but like,
it's happening tonight.
Do you want a Connecticut check? About Middletown, Connecticut?
Boy, Massachusetts and Connecticut feel like basically the same
home
thing
of
to me.
Wesleyan University and also the brownstone mines where they mined all the brownstone. For brownstone buildings in New York.
No. What's that? That's just Connecticut. That's just a fact about
Middletown, Connecticut.
Okay. What's where this event
where
is
where I'm going to see the Goodfellas duo tomorrow.
Okay, thank you for sharing that.
That was more interesting than you thought it was going to be, wasn't it?
No. At the 4-minute mark, Jesse deploys his signature catchphrase. Have mercy.
Yeah.
You look great, Deej.
Mercy.
But he's...
Yeah, a lot of catchphrase work this week.
He's saying it to DJ dressed up as Mrs. Claus.
Yeah.
Which is weird. Maybe, you know what? Maybe that explains the Mrs. Claus lore that El Jefe and Lenny Rips have been talking about. Because normally Jesse says have mercy when he thinks a babe is smoking.
Oh, yeah.
But I think have mercy is also something you say when Mrs.
Like,
Claus
have mercy on my soul.
Claws her way through the crack in your ceiling.
Yeah. It's like, I know that like, my corporeal being is null and void now.
Yeah.
But please have mercy on my soul.
Please have mercy. You know? Yeah. DJ is dressed up as Mrs. Claus as a way to sort of ward away this evil spirit. And Jesse is saying the incantation that you say when you see her. That all makes sense, I think.
We don't really leave the Tanner house.
Yeah.
But I bet if we did, we would see like streets filled with young women dressed as like Mrs. Claus.
Mrs. Claus, yeah.
And young men dressed as like Santa Claus. It's like SantaCon. This was the first SantaCon.
This is the first SantaCon. Beautiful.
And now we do it every year.
Yeah.
To prevent Mrs. Claus from erupting from the earth.
And it's a very special episode, but not really. It tries to make a meal out of the fact that Stephanie is worried that
she goes to one session of therapy.
She gets cured pretty quickly, and it's fine.
And then it's fine.
Yeah. Like, the only real damage is that Danny did have to miss a work event that it sounds like he wasn't that thrilled about going to in the first place.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, they're still like, the town is in ruin.
Yeah, the town is in ruin.
Like, Kimmy Gibbler's literally living there because her house is destroyed.
Yeah, that's true. And DJ has a zit, but it's just not a problem.
No, honestly, like, you can barely see it on, like, high-def HBO Max.
I couldn't see it.
And I'm sure if you were watching this in, like, 1989 on, like, a standard 4x3 resolution TV, you wouldn't be able to see it at all.
Yeah, there's, like, kind of a gaslighting theme in this episode where Stephanie goes to Michelle, and she, like, the way she wants to sleep in her dad's room, but she doesn't want to do it herself, so she goes and wakes Michelle. Oh, yeah. To trick her dad into thinking that Michelle is the one who woke everyone up. And when Michelle
then, like,
wakes
ben
up...
Ben Shapiro, like, yeah. Logic traps her.
Yeah, exactly.
Into going into their dad's bedroom together.
But she says to Michelle, when Michelle's like, why'd I wake up? Stephanie's like, you're having trouble sleeping.
Good morning. It's not morning. You're having trouble sleeping. I am?
So there's, like, it established itself with this, like, weird gaslighting theme. And then I was like, are they doing it to us with the zit? Because, like, DJ's talking about a zit and I can't fucking see it. I think there's one shot where you can kind of see it.
You can sort of see it. I don't, yeah. And I don't want to, like, I worry about you sort of, like, you know, putting a hit out on whoever that was the makeup artist.
Yeah, we've never been able to figure out who that is. Yeah.
Well, before we go, yeah. Jack. At the 12-minute and 56-second mark,
yeah.
Before they decide to go to therapy, Steph and Dad mm-hmm. are having a very special moment together, and they're trying to, like, crack jokes to one another, I think, to kind of cut the tension.
Okay.
Because they're, like, all playing barrel of monkeys together.
Mm-hmm.
She's sort of obsessively, like, keeping him around, playing board games all the time.
Yeah.
To keep him within reach. And I think to cut the tension, she tells a joke, and then he tells a joke. He says,
okay, what's purple and lives in the ocean?
A purple fish?
Moby Grape.
He starts laughing very, like, ha, 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 ha.
Yeah.
And she's like, I don't get it. And he's like, yeah, it wasn't funny.
Yeah.
I don't get it.
You're right, it's not funny.
So I was thinking we could help him workshop the joke.
Oh, okay, yeah. What's purple and lives in the ocean? Mrs. Claus, before she manifested on the physical plane.
Okay.
I guess that's not funny either. That's
true.
I don't. their mom.
Oh, yeah. Maybe he wasn't even saying a joke. He was just like reminding her.
He was reminding her of the Mrs. Tanner.
Like, what awaits the mom? Bottom of the ocean.
What's purple and lives in the ocean?
I don't even really get what he was going for. Moby Dick? Moby Grape?
It's a famous joke, but I don't get it. Let's see. What's purple and lives in the ocean? What's purple? Well, let's name some purple things. Grapes?
Grapes.
I think we got to start with some...
It's a rock band.
Yeah, that's not going to help. Don't start with Moby Grape, which we've decided is a bad answer.
Not grapes, okay.
Yeah, so let's steer clear of grapes here. Give me some purple things. You just Googled what purple things, I assume. Or did you just Google Moby Grape? Classic.
What purple things?
Give me some purple things to work with. Roman emperors would wear purple as a sign
eggplant.
Of their authority. Eggplant.
That's like penises in the iPhone.
Okay. What's purple and lives in your iPhone?
Penis. Lavender. I don't know. Maybe, I guess.
Maybe that's the best they could do with that setup.
Maybe it was the best. Yeah. Yeah. And I guess we have to keep the setup.
Yeah. So if we've got to keep the setup, I think the best we can respond is Moby Grape. And now we see how he kind of painted himself into a corner there.
Purple crayon.
Purple crayon. Yeah.
Let's get out of here.
We got to go. And thank you, Tanner, for bearing with me this week.
Hey, thank you, Jack, for bearing with me. And thank you for bearing with us.
Yeah.
Fry babies.
Yeah, we do love and kiss you every single day.
Yeah.
And what else? Well, you know what? This week we watched a movie. The movie we watched was called Aftershocks.
Yep.
By Full House. And next week we're going to be watching a little movie called The Quilt by Family Matters.
Ooh. Sounds like it has some promise.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, The Quilt.
Sounds like a fertile playing ground, a sort of a fertile field. In which Urkel could plant some mischief.
Make a note of this. Make a note of this.
Yeah.
Next week, when we talk about this, I want to make a bunch of jokes about quiet quilting.
Oh, okay.
You know, because it's like everyone's quiet quilting at the moment.
I don't know what quiet quilting
is. Quiet quitting is like...
Is it
a thing that everyone, it's like.
Oh, quiet quitting. I see. Yeah. Quiet quilting.
Yeah.
That's good. We'll work
okay.
on it.
Okay.
Let's meditate on
we'll
that.
We'll meditate on that week. A little bit. But that's something to look forward to, folks.
Okay.
All that remains is for me to say that this week I have been Jack Alexander Shepard.
My name is Tanner Greenring.
And it's still Friday.
Look out Friday night. Come down to the show. Here we go. Full house, family smiles. It's just the two of us, but I want it my way. We'll be here all night. Could be, we'll be here for a year. Strangers to our lives. How did it come to this? Oh man, oh God, it's Friday.
Be very